May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1052. Redeemer, whither should I flee, or how escape the wrath to come? The weary sinner flies to thee for shelter from impending doom. Smile on me, gracious Lord, and show thyself the friend of sinners now. Hymn 1052.
Thank you. holy word of God. Let us read two portions of scripture this evening. First in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And then we'll turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and read chapter 55. But firstly, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now turning to the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May the Lord bless those portions of his holy and sacred word to each one of us. May he help us now and grant us a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. O thou, almighty, eternal and holy God, Lord, thou that inhabitest eternity, yet thou dwellest with those that are of a contrite and humble spirit. O Lord, do touch our hearts by thy Spirit, and humble us now before thee. Lord, may we hear this night worship at Emmanuel's feet. O Lord, do draw us with thankful hearts for thy many mercies, which daily we receive. Lord, we thank thee we can come. But, O Lord, we come with sinful hearts. And those sinful hearts within us, Lord, will even hinder us unless led and influenced by thy Spirit. Lord, they will hinder us in the drawing near unto thee, to the hearkening for thy voice. Even, Lord, in our prayers, our hard our hearts by nature, and cold our thoughts. But, Lord, come now and be in our midst. Lord, do touch and rule each heart before thee. And, may we know the sweetness of thy presence, the losing sight of vain and carnal things, and the beholding and embracing of those eternal truths that are in Jesus Christ and through his atoning blood. Lord, that is our only hope of one day being in heaven, in that eternal place prepared for thy people. For there is no other way than through Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son. Lord, believing views through faith on the dear Saviour who gave his life a sacrifice for sin. Lord, give us the eye of faith to behold him, the Lamb, thy Lamb, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, take away the sin of the world from our hearts, that it is seen and remembered no more by thee. But thou dost see the travail of the soul of thy Son, and thou art satisfied. Lord, may each one of us here tonight, and Lord, others unable to be here, and others who may be listening in, as it were, to the service, leave none of us to be strangers to the power of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us all that interest in his shed blood, our pardon sealed, our peace with thee, our God. Lord, our hearts so easily lead us astray. Lord, we get ensnared with many earthly things which we have to deal with in our daily lives. Lord, the many duties, the many responsibilities, the many cares, and things that cause disappointments and sadnesses and fears. Lord, that which is not in accordance with our own heart's desire and our own will, Lord, we can easily be led astray and doubt thy grace, doubt thy mercy, even, Lord, doubt thy very being. Lord, how evil are our hearts, deceitful, desperately wicked. But, Lord, leave us not to our own selves. In all matters which we have to handle and deal with in our earthly lives, help us, Lord, to deal with them to thine honour and glory, as if unto thee, and sanctify all things of the circumstances and events through which we pass, to the blessing of our souls, to the glory of thy name. Lord, ever keep a Christ in our view, and in all we say and in all we do. Lord, if we lose sight of Jesus, as the hymn writer put it, and his cross, then soon we fall, I pray. Our lust and our pride by power or craft soon carry us away. Oh Lord, do not let us be carried away. Lord, now in the courts of thy house, draw us near. Put thine arms as it were about us. Open our ears, open our hearts, that we may hear thy voice. Lord, not my words alone to be heard in our heads, but Lord, thy precious word of truth, to be applied in the power of thy Spirit into our hearts. And oh, through that gracious effect, Lord, may we know a sweet hope of eternal life at the election of God. Lord, do remember the deacons of this church. Help them in all that is upon them. Our friend giving out the hymns this evening. Lord, we commend him to thee, that thou wilt give him all wisdom and grace in all the matters that have to be dealt with here and answer his many prayers. And those, Lord, of his fellow deacon, in such affliction, in such a sad state, Lord, in the family, Lord, his dear wife, so terribly sick, Lord, we commend them both to thee. Lord, do remember her in her great affliction. Lord, although so afflicted in mind and weakened in body, Lord, we pray thou wilt still be the strength of her soul. Lord, that good work that thou hast begun in her, Lord, thou hast said thou wilt perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, do not let her lose sight of thee. Her God, her hope, her comforter. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt yet appear and, for her help daily in spiritual things and uphold her husband and the rest of the family. Lord, in these difficult days of such sadness, Lord, may they know that, she is in thy hand. All things are yet at thy command. Hear their prayers and uphold them, and keep them fast and firm on the foundation that is the rock Christ Jesus. Lord, all our times are in thy hand. All events are at thy command. And how mysterious are the ways through which we may and do have to pass. Lord, we think of that lovely hymn. God, thou moves in a mysterious way, thy wonders to perform. Lord, may there yet be those wonders brought forth from these mysterious ways. Lord, we cannot see it. We know not how. It all seems the opposite, Lord, to us. For our own minds and intellect, Lord, cannot enter into thy ways. Lord, thou art higher than our ways, thy thoughts than our thoughts, as we have read. But, do give us faith. Increase our faith to trust in thee at all times, pouring out our hearts before thee, and prove thee to be our refuge. So, Lord, help us each along daily, from the youngest to the eldest. Be with the children, the young people. Preserve and keep them in thy loving care in these evil days. Lord, there is so much to entice them away from the truth of thy word and enter into the ways of sin and ungodliness. Lord, even perhaps if not entering in to compromise in their minds with those things. Lord, so great is the subtlety of Satan, but we bear them before thee. Lord, keep them. from all harms, dangers, and every evil. Confirm them, Lord, in thy ways, the lambs of thy fold, the sheep of thy pasture. Lord, do feed their souls with the bread of heaven, the bread which is through the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep, their pardon sealed. O Lord, bring them to know that sacred truth of to be a sinner, saved by thy grace. Provide for them in all that they have need of. Daily, Lord, many decisions have to be made in education and higher education and occupation. Lord, do lead them forth, opening doors and closing doors, that they may pass on in the way thou wouldst have them to go. Be with each family. Lord, remember them. Lord, do grant thy good hand of love and mercy, and help them in every responsibility. And Lord, as they commit their way unto thee, O Lord, do bring to pass that which is for their help in these difficult days, and that which is for their good. Lord, when there's disappointments and sadnesses and sorrows, O Lord, still help to call upon thee. For thou didst say, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord, so may it be for each one with their varied needs and circumstances of life that cast them down. Remember those in business, Lord, in these difficult days when there's so much that is not right. And Lord, there are evil practices and there is deceit. And Lord, there is fraud. There's ungodliness. And Lord, there's the meeting with those who do not fear thee, maybe even blasphemers. And Lord, maybe those who are ready to persecute and bring into troubles. Oh Lord, we commend them to thee in these difficult days. But Lord, give them all needed grace. Lord, do give them the wisdom to do what is right in thy sight, the strength to keep to thy word, and do bless them indeed in their deeds. Lord, we do pray for those who have sicknesses, weaknesses. Lord, as age increases, Lord, they are felt more and more, the grasshopper, the small things of life become a burden. Lord, have mercy upon each one that calls upon thee, be that unseen guest and ever at hand. Lord, may there be resting in the knowledge of thy love unto their souls. So, Lord, we commend all cases as they come to our minds and before thee. Any who are bereaved of loved ones, Lord, we do pray for them. Lord, do draw near. And oh, do touch and warm those saddened hearts. And Lord, do be present in the lonely hours. And Lord, do supply every need, that they are comforted, that thou art mindful of them, and that thou wilt never leave them and nor forsake them. Bless the ministry of the gospel. Lord, bless it here, continually and elsewhere. Lord, throughout our nation, throughout the world. Lord, may thy word still go forth, our free course, and be glorified. Lord, do maintain a living ministry. Lord, in our lands, we thank thee, Lord, when thou hast sent forth others, Lord, to preach the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that where thou hast begun that exercise in the hearts of others, thou wilt bring it in thy time and in thy way, Lord, to come to pass. And there be many, Lord, in our land as well as throughout the world, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, which thou wilt take of that word, apply it in power, and many sinners, dead in trespasses and in sins, come to the knowledge of their soul's salvation, convinced of sin, and led to Jesus' blood. Lord, may that be the outcome of the virus which is still amongst us. Lord, but oh, we do pray, Lord, that the intended lifting of restrictions, Lord, may not increase the risk. Oh, everything is in thy hand. Lord, thou art almighty, and we continue to pray to shield us and have mercy upon us. And Lord, when we come to the courts of thy house, Lord, we thank thee the doors are open, when so many other institutions and entertainments and other places have been closed. We thank thee, Lord, for the influence in the minds of our Parliament to permit the freedom and gathering together for worship. Lord, pardon all we ask amiss. Lord, give us truly thankful hearts for every mercy. And as we turn to thy word, Lord, do come and grant, Lord, application of thy truth to each of our souls. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn number 384. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, that he may take of his own word of truth recorded here in the scriptures before us and apply them in their sacred truth to each of our hearts. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55, and the last few words of verse 3. Isaiah 55, the last clause of verse 3. Even the sure mercies of David. Even the sure mercies of David. Dear friends, we read much about David in the Holy Word of God. No doubt about it at all. He, a man of God. But David was born, like you and me, in the seed of Adam. He was born in sin. He was shapen in iniquity. He writes in sin that his mother would conceive him. But David was a vessel of God's mercy. And it was only the mercy of God that changed him from being one who continued in his earthly life, a dead in trespasses and in sins. Yes, he was one of those chosen in Christ before the world began. And when God spoke to Samuel concerning a king to replace a king Saul, the Lord said to Samuel, or Samuel spoke the word of the Lord, that he had sought a man after his own heart. Now, dear friends, that's a deep expression. A man after God's own heart. How could a sinner, born in trespasses and in sins, be one after God's own heart? Well, dear friends, if we can call it the heart of God, for the want of better words, the heart of God was toward David. The heart of God in all its love, in all its mercy, in all its grace, in all its kindness, its loving kindness, and in all its goodness, was toward David. And that was revealed in David by the Holy Spirit, which when Samuel anointed David to be king of Israel, we read how the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Dear friends, it was only that what changed David from being just, if I can call it, an ordinary sinner of this world, just following the course of this world in accordance with his own heart and mind. Dear friends, none of us can be changed from our terrible state of sin in our flesh. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing, except the Spirit of God be granted to us, to reveal his love, his mercy, his grace, his truth, as it is in Jesus. Dear friends, I trust that why we gather together in the courts of God's house, to seek knowledge of this truth, to be confirmed in this truth, to grow in the understanding of this truth, as the Lord may apply his sacred word more and more to us, to cast out our sin, and to enter in all aspects of our lives. Now the entering in of the Spirit of God in David produced in David great faith. And dear friends, where the Spirit of the Lord is in exercise, there is great faith. Nothing fearing to do the will and the bidding of God. One's desire to do the bid and the willing of God. To seek his honour and glory in all things. This was manifest quite soon, wasn't it? When David slew Goliath. It was by no chance that Jesse sent his son David to the battlefield to take that food for Jesse's other sons and for the king. And when Goliath came with his challenge and David heard it, and David wondered that no one was willing to take that challenge. And he indicated that he would. Oh, his brother Eliab, who was quite against him, wasn't he? David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You know, dear friends, where the Spirit of the Lord enters into the heart and soul of a sinner, there's a cause. And the cause is that one may be formed for God's praise. Formed for the praise of God in all we think and say and do. David won that great battle, didn't he? Simply as he was with his shepherds, a sling and a scrip and the stone. The Lord was with him. He went forth in the name of the Lord, nothing fearing. And so he gained the victory. Dear friends, in simple accounts like that, how it shows, doesn't it, the strength of faith. The strength of faith we need to face so many things which would rise against us. Not only personally, but collectively, perhaps even nationally. However the Lord may use his people under the influence and power of his Spirit and in the exercise of faith. It's through faith, isn't it? All things against us are overcome. Because through faith, trust is completely not in ourselves, not in our own wisdom, not in our own abilities, but in God. And even when we have the exercise of faith, our prayer is still, Lord, help me. But although David had this great faith, David had the Spirit of the Lord within him. He still had his earthly nature. And when circumstances arose, particular ones at particular times, his earthly nature rose up and seemed to overshadow the Spirit of God. David conducted himself very wisely, didn't he? When Saul rose up against him and threw those javelins at him. But when Jonathan told him that Saul only sought his death, David fled. And in fear, with the priests of Nob, to get his own way, to get something he needed, food and some weapons, his deceitful heart prevailed. Oh, he didn't tell the whole truth to the priest of Nob, did he? He says the king's business requires haste. And he deceived the priest of Nob. And then he fled to where he felt was the best place for him among Saul's enemies. Well, dear friends, deceit didn't prosper. David did it. He had to soon escape from the Philistines as well. You know, we find in these accounts that when we go our own way, even though we've known the influence and the sweetness and the power of the grace of God and the influence of the Spirit of God, dear friends, we're still prone to fall, aren't we? Wander away from that dependence upon the Lord our God. When David was in the wilderness of Judea, what anger rose in his heart when he was rejected and despised by a neighbour. David, having kindly kept the enemy from Nabal's shepherds and so forth. And then when David asked for provision for himself and his men, he was refused. Dear friends, when others hurt us, what happens to your heart and your mind? What happens to my heart and my mind? Anger flares up, doesn't it? Retaliation. Have one's own back. Dear friends, David was just the same. Oh, we thank the Lord that these things are revealed. You know, David spoke, didn't he, concerning the sins of his youth. He doesn't elaborate what they all were. He says, "Great is mine iniquity." David knew what Paul knew. After Paul was converted, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This is the case with you. You know, dear friends, we can only say such things, our wretchedness, when we've known in measure of his goodness and his mercy. If we're just left to ourselves in our own earthly nature all our lives, then friends, we shall not acknowledge sin within ourselves, to tremble against it. David didn't tremble, did he, when he was going to murder Nabal? David thought he was doing that which was right in his own sight, in his own heart. But what a mercy. The Lord knew all about David. As he said in that psalm we read, "He knows my down sitting and mine uprising." Such things are too wonderful for me. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Dear friends, the Lord's hand did not let David go the way that David wished to go, as he intended to go, left to himself. Oh, what love and mercy in the providing there of Abigail to testify to David a more, a wiser and better way. And the Lord dealt with the matter, didn't he? And David had to thank God that he was kept from such an outward sin. But David wasn't kept, was he, from that dreadful sin of adultery? When given the circumstance, all his enemies were at peace with him. He was resting in his house in Jerusalem. And there was the temptation of that woman bathing herself. And he fell. And then not only did he fall in committing adultery, but because the fruit of it would be made known amongst all the people that were there, he tried to hide it, he tried to cover his own sin by dealing with her husband, Uriah. And when he wouldn't act as David wished him to do, he sought the murder of Uriah, which he did, at the battlefield. Dear friends, David was worthy of hell. He was worthy of death. A great breaker of the law. What a transgressor he was of the law. The Lord was mindful of him still. David came to know these sure mercies, the sure mercies of David to him from God. He was a chosen vessel of mercy. And the Lord spoke to him, I have put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Now, dear friends, is there any greater mercy than that? One so worthy of condemnation by the holy God, and yet delivered from the consequence of his sin. Oh, David writes in many of his psalms concerning the coming of Jesus Christ, doesn't he? The Lord said unto my Lord, he called him Lord. In that lovely Psalm 22, that solemn Psalm 22. Oh, he even writes the words of Jesus upon the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They parted my garments before them, cast lots for them. And so, what a psalm that is of the suffering Saviour. You know, dear friends, it was revealed to David by the Spirit where his forgiveness lay. And then he also speaks of the glorious resurrection of Jesus, doesn't he? In Psalm 16. He will not leave his Holy One in hell to suffer corruption. He will show me the path of life. What was the path of life for David? It wasn't through all that he was doing under his own heart and mind in the flesh, was it? And that would bring him down to utter destruction and despair. The path of life was believing in the sure mercies through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Dear friends, this was David's salvation. And it's the only salvation for any sinner. Dear friends, are you a sinner? Have you come, perhaps not to the depths of David's sin, but convinced of sin? Do you know your just desert, what it should be? Oh, David committed adultery outwardly. But how many of us have committed adultery inwardly? As Jesus said, if we look upon a man, looks upon a woman in his heart, he hath committed adultery. This is a solemn truth, isn't it? God looketh upon the heart. Oh, dear friends, does that make you tremble? Makes me tremble. Because from our heart there come many a thought. And what have our thoughts been today? Have they not been sinful? We may not have spoken or exercised ourselves outwardly in accordance with our thoughts, but we've still sinned. What did David say? Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou understandest my thought. Dear friends, the Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. He knows the wickedness that is within us. What is the wickedness within us? Well, we read, don't we, concerning the wicked. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And God is not in all their thoughts. Dear friends, that word all there can be taken two ways. God is not in any of our thoughts. Or God is not in every one of them of our thoughts. Friends, we cannot say God is in all of our thoughts, can we? Therefore, there's much wickedness in our thoughts. And how great a sinner we come day by day, hour by hour. Well, when we read of David and his sins, yes, when he numbered the people, that was pride, wasn't it? How great a king he was. The Lord's wrath at that time was poured out. And David pleaded, he says, let us fall into the hands of God, for there is mercy. There is mercy. Oh, David knew where his hope of forgiveness and hope of eternal life lay. He said at the end of that Psalm 139, which we read, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Know my heart, know my thoughts. Why did David pray this prayer? It had already been searched out at the beginning of the psalm. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. The Lord, he knew, was with him. He knew his down sitting, his uprising. He knew his thoughts. Oh, all such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Whither shall I go from thy presence? Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Everything David knew, God knew all about him. And dear friends, he did not know all about himself. How easy it was to fall into sin and dishonouring ways of God, dishonouring ways to God. Therefore he prays again, and dear friends, I'm sure this wasn't the only time he prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Dear friends, this is a prayer of one who fears God, isn't it? This is the prayer of David who came to learn through the hand of God in all his ways. I am poor and needy. That's what he was in his own spirit. I am poor, but the Lord thinketh upon me. He could testify how the Lord had led him, kept him, chastened him. Dear friends, that's of the Lord's mercies, isn't it? He's chastening to keep us in the right way. David's desire. Search me, O God, know my heart, know my thoughts. Yes, try me. Dear friends, that's a solemn prayer. We read of being tried as gold is tried in the fire. Fires burn. They give a lot of heat. And the gold put in the fire, dear friends, in that refining pot, dear friends, it's melted under the strength and the power of the heat. But dear friends, in the melting, the impurity within, it floats to the surface. And the refiner removes it. And then the fire is taken away. And the gold is more purer at the end than it was in the beginning. David's praying to be tried. To remove more of his sin. And that through trials and afflictions. Through tribulations. And dear friends, what an answer God gave him to that prayer. After he'd committed that adultery, oh, the solemn hand of God upon his family never left him all his days, did it? The rising of Absalom to usurp him from the throne. And his son with Tamar, his daughter. And, oh dear friends, he was left in times of difficulties and sorrow in his own house. But dear friends, it brought David to know this. He was the subject of the Lord's mercy. And he could only depend upon that mercy to be saved from death, destruction and despair. He says, my sin is ever before me. You know, dear friends, when we sin, and when we are forgiven, such as David was forgiven, we don't lose the sense of what we've done and the mercy we found. It humbles us, keeps us low. Or when Shimei threw stones at David when he was fleeing from Absalom. Did David say, oh, go and kill him, remove that trouble from me? No. He says, the Lord hath bidden him. Let him continue. Now David humbled himself. And when he fled from Absalom, he said to those who brought out the ark, he sent them back, saying if the Lord would be favourable to him, he would bring him back again. But if not, let him do to me as seemeth him good to him. What a humble spirit. Dear friends, this is the teaching of the Spirit when we sin. This is the heart, the tender heart, the softened heart, which God gives to make us hate sin, make it extremely hateful to us, and to turn aside from it and seek to do his bidding, and when we fail, acknowledge our sin and depend upon his mercy. Oh, dear friends, is this your prayer? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Turn me about from my sin. Forgive my sin. Pardon my sin. Lead me in the way everlasting. And friends, we read of the mercies of the Lord, don't we? They endure forever. They're everlasting. This a covenant of the sure mercies of David. The words say, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Who is that spoken to? Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus. Ye that are burdened, heavy laden, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. That's with sins. And I will give thee rest. Rest from all your iniquity and the judgment of it, the consequence of your sin. It's an everlasting covenant in Jesus Christ, isn't it? The covenant of his grace. Prophesied so many years ago by Jeremiah. When the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, saying, in those days, as the days of the coming of Jesus, he would make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And dear friends, the Church of Christ is spiritual Israel. They come into the knowledge of this covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Dear friends, the covenant of works, obedience to the law, David couldn't achieve it. No one has been able to achieve it. You can't achieve it. I can't achieve it. Oh, how solemn if that had been the only covenant still in existence today. But it's been put away. It's been changed. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God. They shall be my people. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The covenant. The covenant of grace, the sure mercies of David. Oh, when David came to the land of his life, end of his life, what was his testimony then? His house, as himself, in the flesh, and all that was of him, of his offspring. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. The sure mercies of David. Sure. Certain. Cannot be altered. Unchangeable. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Lord who was to come, who was to die on Calvary's cross, bearing the sins of many. Oh, which David looked to by faith. And there he could rest. He hath made with me. He and David hadn't done anything of it, had he? He hadn't merited. He'd earned the opposite. But he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. Dear friends, that sure was everlasting life. Led in the way that is everlasting. In spite of all his sinfulness, dear friends, he was taught the way that was everlasting. Nothing of his own glory, nothing of his own self. Oh, what a sinner he was. But a sinner saved by grace. The sure mercies of David. He wrote that lovely psalm, didn't he, 103. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. David learned, didn't he, in his life to fear God. The one who knew all about him, he could do nothing without the Lord's knowledge of it. Sins that they were. That brought him into the tender fear of the Lord. A reverent fear. Oh, God is God. God is almighty. God knows all things. He is eternal. And I'm such a dreadful sinner. But oh, that grace which is imparted to my soul. That love, that mercy, that grace, that loving kindness, that which has led me and kept me, that has pardoned my sin. It will not never be removed. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Well, dear friends, this is the only way you and I are going to have a hope of glory, isn't it? A hope of heaven. To know our sins forgiven, our pardon sealed. Then there's peace with God. And then, dear friends, when that knowledge is within us, through the influence and power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, we say, as David did at the beginning of that psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name, forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Isaiah in that chapter gives some exhortations. Dear friends, are you amongst those who hunger and thirst? That's after his righteousness. You've got none of your own, have you? You're a sinner. He says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live." Dear friends, do you hear these truths? Concerning such a one as David, a sinner. And yet, all through this covenant of grace, he found eternal life, the way everlasting. "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Oh, dear friends, as David was a seeker, his prayer, "Search me, O God." Dear friends, is that your prayer? We don't like to be searched out and proved wrong and sinful, and do we? But dear friends, that's where we find the mercy. "Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked." There's no fear of God before their eyes. What is it with you? God is not in all their thoughts. What is it with you and me? "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord." Why? "And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Dear friends, what a sweet promise that is. The vilest sinner out of hell lives to feel his need. Welcome to the throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. He will abundantly pardon. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Oh, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." My dear friends, let us not be left out of this wondrous mercy and grace. Oh, maybe we have to pray at times for the Spirit. Jesus said, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" To teach us exactly what we are before a holy God. Sinners in his sight, more than we are in our own. But, oh, this way to escape the sure mercies of David, the way where we find pardon, the way where we find the Lord's peace, the way that is everlasting, the way which leads to the kingdom of heaven. where one day to dwell with Christ forevermore. The sure mercies of David. Dear friends, I did not know really about that text, how to come with it, but our middle hymn, which our friend gave out, the heading, O save me for thy mercy's sake. And so the end of each verse, save me for thy mercy's sake. The sure mercies of David. Oh, may that hymn be your prayer tonight and every day. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day, but he will not now be taking the Sunday school as he feels too weak. But he sends his love to all the friends here and especially the dear young people who he will not address in the Sunday school. And God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening. The collection tonight is for the free Bible distribution, which is taking place outside the chapel. And the members are asked to stay behind after the service, please. Our closing hymn is 765. And does thy heart for Jesus pine? And make its secret moan. He understands a sigh divine and marks a secret groan. Hymn 765.
Do bless thine own word of truth to us. Search us out, Lord, that we may be drawn, led into the way of truth. as it is in Jesus, the way that is everlasting. O Lord, do not let us continue to be a strayer from the truth, but Lord, bring us humbly to thy feet to pour out our heart before thee and to be shown, Lord, the truth as it is in Jesus, even those sure mercies of David, to pardon our sins and lead us on to life everlasting. So, Lord, confirm that we are thine and thou art ours. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.